But the new Ping G400 line is now in stock. The full line, drivers and irons, and all the accounts that I've read about these on the internet, the reviews and whatnot, have been extremely positive. Of course, you know, Ping has always been known for their game improvement irons, and this is definitely in that category. It's a huge cavity back. But I think if you're in the market for some new irons, you might want to go check out the Ping G400s, and the things I'm hearing about the driver are just unbelievable. I was talking to Kevin Arsenault Sunday at Squirrel Run after the round, and he was saying his brother-in-law, who used to play, well, he's still a pro, I guess, you know.
Yeah, Don Meadows. He's a pro down in Florida.
Yeah.
Kind of like me, semi-retired.
The other one,
Greg Sonia.
Yeah, Greg Sonia.
He's a young up-and-coming star.
Yeah, I think.
In golf, anyway.
I think he's playing the G400, and he said it's like cheating, that it's the longest driver he's ever hit. So, you know, that's out, and Andy, tell me they had a kind of a meeting with the Mizuno reps yesterday, and they have a new line coming out in October, Mizuno does. So, plus they're blowing out a bunch of their merchandise right now, end of the year, not end of the year, but end of the season type of clearance going on. So they've got a bunch of nice apparel. And then as you get ready to start your tailgating for the football season, they've got a full line of LSU and Saints apparel there as well.
Happy Eclipse Day, by the way. I don't know if you were outside for the event, but it was very unnoticeable, I think, you know, here in Louisiana, but across the country. A lot of people got pretty excited about it.
I actually watched it on, we have a little TV at work, mm-hmm. So I watched it mostly on there, and it was amazing to hear the stories of people that drove 18 hours to Oregon or wherever the prime spot was to watch
the beginning.
And then, you know, it's over with in 2 minutes.
So that's right.
You know,
then if you know, like, they got fortunate because that band that it went from Oregon to South Carolina was, you know, the weather was pretty good. But if you get a cloudy day and you can't see the sun, it's like, well, it's nighttime.
No. And there were quite a few. Kind of show the different points in the U.S. And there were quite a few places that were having rain and different things. But, you know, I know it's a majestic event. I know it's something that happens only, you know, every so often. But to me, it would be hard to beat that watching that sunrise. I know it happens every day, but in Hawaii,
it rises every day.
That thing was awesome. That sunrise, you know, that was.
Yeah, that was pretty special for us. All right, turning back to golf, Squirrel Run, friends down the road there. The greens are coming around pretty nicely. They air fired them a couple of weeks ago. Well, maybe a week ago or so. And they're coming along really nicely. They postponed their club championship to sometime. It was scheduled for this past weekend, but because of that, the greens didn't heal up quite quick enough. They're going to have it sometime in September, along with EP Bro Tournament September 16th and Holland Baptist Tournament on September 29th. And then coming up in October, big thing here, because Mr. Jimmy Picard, who passed away a couple of years ago with a quick heart attack, a beloved guy that played in a lot of tournaments and a lot of events, not only at Squirrel Run, but around the Acadiana area. They're going to have a memorial tournament in his honor with a two-man team, 64 two-man teams, four flights honoring him. And, of course, more information will be coming up on that as it's scheduled for the end of October. And they're still running their special membership offer, $100 a month for the first 6 months, and then you go to your regular membership, which is like $130-something dollars. So, like, it's a 30% savings. And if you want to just go and play Squirrel Run, golfnow.com can fix you up with some prime tee times and a big discount as well.
You know, Kevin was telling me today, we're talking about that, and he kind of checked online. And I think in the next month or two, you can kind of see what's happening. They have like over 300 rounds booked through that website.
Right. Wow. So that's pretty big advantage there. And then turning our attention to Sugar Oaks, they had the Lauraville Backers Golf Tournament, Tiger Backers Golf Tournament this past week on August the 19th, Saturday, along with a couple of other events. Well, one other event, they had an extravaganza party after at Harold Landry Building in Lauraville Park. I didn't get the results. I text Jacob Freeu, who was one of the committee members there who ran the tournament, asked him for results, but he didn't reply. Maybe he's having a hangover from the eclipse or whatever, but maybe next time we can get those results, because I know they had a pretty nice turnout as well. And also at Sugar Oaks, Twilight Scramble, first place on the latest one went to Paul LaDuceur and Braden Landry. They were minus two. And the Community First Bank Pro-Am was at Abbeville. Of course, we haven't talked about our Abbeville trek yet. We'll get to that in a minute. Let me get done with Sugar Oaks. And the Gator Golf Club, which stems out of Sugar Oaks. Thanks for Boyd Booty. He religiously brings me the results of these. And I know that he goes out of his way, and I deeply appreciate it for him doing that. But their last, the time before, they played August 20th at Contraband in Lake Charles. First place went to Dave Swallow. Second flight went to Kevin Romero. Third flight went to Kent Kern and Tony Viator. And then fourth flight went to Billy Bork. And their latest event was played at Links on the Bayou in Alexandria. No, that's their next event. This one says Contraband as well. Let's see. Hold on. This previous one was played at Tamaka Trails. So they're finished on their makeup. That's why it's a little confusing. They had two rainouts that they had to make up, and they kind of fit them in between their events. But in the latest one, first flight went to Jimmy Champagne, one of our great sponsors here, with a plus six. Second flight went to Kevin Romero, plus four. Third flight, Richard Fleming, the former state trooper, plus five. And then fourth flight, Bill Ball, plus three. And like I said, their next event's going to be at Links on the Bayou, not till September 16th, and that's a Saturday in Alexandria. Okay, and then Spanish Trail. Let's see, they had a few things going on. They got half their golf course aerified before the rains hit them. They did the front nine and back nine. They'll try to do as soon as possible. And then Spanish Trail seems to get some of the best golf shots of anybody, any golf course around, at least I hear of. Otto Bone made an ace on number 17 with a 6-iron from 161 yards out. And then last week I reported that I messed up and didn't get the results of the ladies' area play. Well, that's because they didn't have it. It was rained out. They're going to have it tomorrow. The 22nd is a Tuesday, and that's when they're going to try to have it. I think the weather will cooperate this time. And they also postponed that club championship to the 9th and 10th of September, kind of like what Squirrel Run did in light of the fact that their greens will not be in great shape with the aerification. Take a while to heal up on those things.
I know, but if I'm a golf course, I want to have my club championship before football season starts, because unless it's an open weekend for both the Saints and LSU, then you're going to have some players not participating.
No, you're absolutely right. Most of the golf courses usually in the South schedule them in August, and then they're over and done with for football.
Right.
But one other tournament is going to be played at Spanish Trail, and that's the Como Baseball Fundraiser, and that's going to be on the 16th. of September. And then Chafalaya, they got coming up this coming weekend. It's their annual four-ball golf tournament. $180 per player. It's a two-man team. Better net score. And, of course, they have a practice round, free practice round with the skins game on the Saturday round. And then all the other stuff that goes with it. Calcutta, supper, Saints game after play. They're encouraging that. 8:30 shotgun start on Saturday. And then UL announced its fall schedule for competition, and they start out for like the 12th or 13th year. I know the Sam Hall Intercollegiate at Hattiesburg, when I was that coach, that was the first tournament of the fall as well. Definitely can remember sitting in a golf shop watching football and my old guys play golf. I didn't care too much about their golf.
Hands-on coach, boy.
You know, I tried. I really did. I'll never forget this. David Marchand is now a big supporter of UL and a PGA fellow professional of mine. He was one of my players. And on the first hole that I watched, it was a par three. That's where all the coaches usually hang out. And the sucker hit a bad shot, and he broke the club right in front of my face.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's when I said, I'm out of here. I went and watched football.
Man.
I had, it's a long story, but, man.
Yeah, that's, well.
And then
that explains a lot. You know.
Why I went in?
Well, you know, it just explains a lot. Yeah, okay. Why you had them drive your van back from Tiger Stadium? Why you went watch football?
They weren't all in. I wasn't all in. That's what I'm talking about.
But at least you did try to recruit David Toms. You know, so.
Yes, I did. And it's funny, you know, we've talked about UL's two biggest golf stores in recent history are Mike Heinen and Craig Perks. And I've been to Theodore's facility only twice since they opened it up, you know. Mm-hmm. And the first time I got to see Mike Heinen, well, this past time I was there this past week, Craig Perks was there. And,
no.
Yeah. You know, you need to come with me one time because they got big old – pictures of him in the lobby there. Mm-hmm. And Theodore got Mike Heinen to write a little note as he signed his thing on the big thing, you know, and he did the same thing with Craig. So,
well, good.
Yeah, it's a nice facility, you know, to help Theodore recruit and get some players in there that can, you know, semi-compete with the guys down the bayou there in Baton Rouge.
You were telling me, you know, how impressed you were with that freshman from Iceland that was hitting balls out there.
305 yards impressed me. I don't care where he's from.
Yeah, you're right about
if
that.
If he can just get used to the humidity, he'll be all right.
Yeah, well, that might take a little getting used to. But, yeah. But yeah, that's a great facility, a great tool for UL. Great ambassadors, you know, and especially with Craig Perks' visibility with the Golf Channel. If he can, you know, stay connected to the program, that would be awesome.
Theodore was a little bit aggravated with Craig. You know, the both of them got real close, and then, right. You know, the talk show, and then Craig got a job with the Golf Channel, and they kind of separated, you know, maybe not intentionally, but it just happened, and Theodore stepping in to do Craig's talk show periodically is getting a little tiring for him, so maybe they can iron that out, and, you know, Craig can let go of that little bitty baby animal there.
I have no idea why Craig Perks still wants to Lafayette, Louisiana radio show, you know, because
he's on national television every week. I told Theodore he ought to try to get the opportunity to host that show. You know, it'd be good for his program, but good for his visibility, recruiting, and everything.
Have a different, you know, player on with him every week, you know, some area pros. I mean, you could do a lot with that in Lafayette. It has to be something, you know, between some kind of commitment between Craig and Chuck Wood. I know they're very close.
Know.
But, I mean, it can't be for – he's not doing it for the money. I can promise you that.
I know. Theodore went do a little fishing for me for us here at Kane Radio for the Rays. You know, we can't broadcast UL sports or UL football particularly. And he said Town Square Media, the new AD is honoring their contract for one more year, but after that it's going to be open game. So.
Right.
Hopefully we can get back. Even today, making a sales call down at High Crop with Sherman Taylor there, you know, he said, "Man, we can't hear. Where do I go to hear UL football?"
I know.
You know, and
it's ridiculous.
Complain because it's not our fault. You know, I mean, not in competition with 1420, and they're not in competition with us. We're two different animals, but we'd love to do the same thing in promoting UL sports.
You know, I know we want to talk about golf, but the interesting thing is when someone else with 103.7 did some investigating, there is no formal contract with 1420. The university doesn't even have a written contract as that being their flagship station.
Really?
It was like a handshake type of thing, you know. So, yeah, it's definitely – hopefully the new AD at UL can do some good things. I think there was a lot of things, kind of the good old boy network.
Under the table type of things
that was happening before.
That's disturbing to hear.
But, no, I'm the exact same way as Mr. Taylor because, you know, that's my alumni. I mean, I'm a bigger Tiger fan. I will admit that. But, occasionally I want to see how they're doing against, especially in-state rivals, that, you know, the old, you know, when they're playing Louisiana Monroe or they're playing McNeese or something like that.
Absolutely. I love to go to that game.
Catch it at all. You can't listen to it, you know, on the radio. And if you can, it's on a station that you're not going to even know because they do have some FM affiliates that they own, but I don't know where they're at on the dial. They don't advertise and they don't promote the stations, you know. I mean, it's like Cajun football is just it just hangs out there. It's a gem, you know, an unpolished gem. It should be the number one, like, you should be able to market this like crazy. Raging Cajun. What better nickname in the whole country? You couldn't have a better.
We
don't even have a mascot. You know, used to be the Pepper. It was then some crazy-looking Cajun guy. I don't know what the mascot is. They can't decide on what they want to call themselves. I mean, it's a mess. But on the positive side, I love the new little Mike the Tiger. He's very cute. I saw him. He was officially announced today. He passed his quarantine thing, and very nice looking tiger. The only thing I'm disappointed about is that they will discontinue the tradition of, you know, bringing him out before games in the trailer.
It's too young, or
no? It's just part of the compromise they did with PETA. Yeah.
Well, by the way, talking about LSU, those tickets are still for sale that my friend has for the LSU season tickets, section 300, which is really nice. Row 36, seats 7 and 8. So if anybody's interested, give me a call and talk price.
All right, and we'll come
and,
back.
Wait, also, one other program, yes. You know, I want to talk, since we talked about UL next Wednesday, the 30th, UL's having, not a fundraiser, but what do you call that, a social, right here at the Sliman Theater with a couple of their coaches going to be there and a little rally.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure the AD will be there, and that's going to be pretty nice.
Maybe, you know, we can show them what a radio station looks like in the Iberia.
I would hope so. I'm definitely going to get in his ear and you know, feed that animal hey, we would love to broadcast, you know, UL football and sports as well. Because we did basketball baseball,
absolutely.
You know. And look, they got a premier baseball team year in and year
and
out, so that's a pretty popular sell.
And I think they're going to be pretty good in basketball again this year, you know.
And
softball is always – you know,
softball
way up there. You know, it's a nationally ranked program. You know, so yeah, it would be great to have the Cages back in New Iberia for sure.
I'll remind you. Maybe we can both go together or something.
I
think it's 5:30 to 7 or something like that. I don't know.
That's next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, the 30th. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I have anything on that day.
Okay.
Well,
you got something else local?
Well, it's college, but
yeah, we'll
But you want to take a break first, or you want to?
Wait, college, like the USAM?
Well, yeah, the Walker Cup team.
Yeah,
you know, the admission of Sam.
We'll
Burns.
Talk about the USAM as well. They had 5 players. Okay, we'll save that.
Okay,
good. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots on Kane Radio.
The GolfBalls.com retail center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear, and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course online at golfballs.com. We're in your bag.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
In the shadows of the Tash, Kane Radio, AM 1240.
Welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy Sliman, Ralph Boxcar, Bergeron with you here. 367-1240 is our number if you want to call us, talk a little golf over the next half an hour or so. Turning our attention now to the golf scene, on the national golf scene. A lot of things going on, Boxcar. You mentioned the Walker Cup. They had the U.S. Amateur, the Solheim Cup. A lot to talk about. What you want to start out with, bud?
Well, since we're coming off a local, I'm going to kind of keep it local with the Walker Cup team. It's hard to believe, but when the USG announces 10-player Walker Cup roster Sunday night, it rattled some eyebrows, raised some eyebrows, by leaving off the Division I College Player of the Year. Sam Burns, a 21-year-old from Shreveport, who won the 2017 NCAA Division I Jack Nicklaus National Player of the Year Award a couple of months ago, announced in June that he wouldn't be returning for his junior year at LSU. He was going to turn pro instead. But he chose to wait to make his professional debut instead playing a full amateur schedule in the hopes of representing the U.S. Walker Cup team in its matches September 9th through the 11th at the Los Angeles Country Club. Burns is the 21st ranked men's amateur in the world. He's had an up and down summer. He finished fifth in the Northeast Amateur, qualified and tied for sixth at the PGA Tour's Barbasol Championship, which was an alternate field event the same week as the British Open. But he did miss the cut at the Western Amateur and failed to qualify for match play at last week's U.S. Amateur. And in the end, his name wasn't enough to impress the USGA's team selection committee. Well, the committee has no formal points system, and team captain John Spider Miller acknowledged that he doesn't have a vote on the final roster, opening up the committee to objections from across the golf world. Most incensed was tour player John Peterson, who also went to LSU and was left off the 2011 Walker Cup team despite winning the NCAA title that year. So John Peterson went to Twitter to voice his objections, and here were some of his tweets. Hey, Walker Cup, what do you have against LSU? How are you going to leave off the best player in college golf? Then how are you going to keep the next generation of great college players from turning pro if you're constantly prove it's 100% politics? Then Smiley Kaufman chimed in. He said, what? How is Sam Burns not on this team? So, you know, some LSU players coming to Sam Burns' defense, but ultimately what Burns' decision to not wait, to not turn pro cost him? Well, he lost $113,000, which he would have earned at Barbasol, and he could have used the result to play the next week's tour event, but he sacrificed the opportunity to use sponsors' exemptions to play a busier summer tour schedule and try to earn a full card for next season. Burns is now expected to turn pro immediately, although he's not announced where he will make his debut. So kind of a snub there, and I'm surprised to learn that the Walker Cup team is so political and not points-based.
Yeah, that's pitiful. You know, I mean, you would think an honorable game like golf, you know, they would do a selection with that integrity in mind, but I mean, evidently not.
You know, to me, you know, and this, if you – you should have an automatic berth on that team if you win NCAA College Player of the Year. That should be one of the perks of winning that
Certainly,
award.
Certainly, that's a huge
and
tournament.
Being an incentive, yeah.
As well as, you know, they had this past weekend as well, the United States Amateur, 117th time they played the event. That's a pretty long time, box score, longer than any other tournament we know around here. And it was played at the famed Bel Air Country Club along with Riviera Country Club in Pacific Palisades, California. And of course it goes through there's like 300 players that qualify through local sectional qualifying, and then they go into a medal 36 gold medal play, and they take the top 64. And as you were talking about LSU, five LSU players qualified for the tournament, but unfortunately none of them made the top 64. And also from southeastern Louisiana, James Antis qualified for the tournament. And he as well from Chifuncta Country Club did not make the top 64 where they went into match play, and he was the first player from the Lions from Southeastern since Grady Brame Jr. in 2012, and it was an exciting event. I didn't see any of it, but just read about it. And a guy named Doc Redmond from Clemson rallied from two holes down to play and won the U.S. Amateur by beating Doug Gim on the first extra hole. So he won two holes in a row, 17 and 18, well, his 35th and 36th hole to tie it, and then won on the extra hole. His two-up lead on the 17th hole at Riviera Country Club, where he made a stunning 55-foot eagle putt to win the hole. And then on the last famed hole at Riviera, he knocked it tight to force a playoff. And Redmond was a 62nd seed. In other words, this guy got in on the last spot. There was 13 of them, 62 through 74, whatever the numbers add up to, and they only could take eight, so he had to go into a 13-player playoff, and he was one of those eight to make it. So that's pretty astounding in itself. For the other guy, it was disappointing in more than one way. because Doug Ginn, that's the second time he goes into the last hole of a USGA event and fail. He in Barn Meth beat him in the finals of the 214th U.S. Amateur Pub Links at Sand Creek Station in Canton, Kansas. And that was the last playing, and they no longer have the U.S. Amateur Pub Links. But he lost on the line was an exemption to the U.S. Open as well as the Masters. And this is what he said: I did a really good job of not thinking about everything that was on the line. I did kind of blow it, though, on the last hole. It was just pure inexperience. I wasn't nervous. I just amped up. I've never been amped up before, so I got to the tee on the 36th hole. Before I knew it, the club was at the top of my backswing, and he says, what do I do now? And I think we've all had that experience. But the poor guy, I mean, you know, he's gone to the Masters this year because of his second-place finish, but that's the second time he loses on the last hole, and then, you know, well, a playoff hole in a major USGA event. So
that is brutal. But, but this kid, Redmond, you know, probably one of these guys that kind of like Jordan Spieth may not have the best looking swing or whatnot, but is a really gutsy competitor. The fact the U.S. Walker Cup captain Spider Miller said he was enthralled with Redmond's bulldog mentality. He went on to say, "This is the toughest match play guy I've ever seen." During his first year at Clemson, Redmond worked with two sports psychologists and devoured a handful of mental game books. He recently was accepted into the school's honors college with an emphasis in mathematics. But the motto he's using was a message that he took from the coach of the New Zealand rugby team. Now, I don't know how that came to play, if he's, you know, a fan of rugby or whatnot, but the message was, quote, pressure is a privilege, and that's his motto. And his coach, Jonathan Bird, went on. Well, that's a tour player, Jonathan Bird, is it?
No, I don't think so.
It's an assistant coach at Clemson. But Jordan Bird, I'm sorry. His coach said he thrives in that situation and narrows his focus. The moment isn't too big for him. And, in fact, he had gone up to to Bird on the 17th hole before he holed that putt and said, "This isn't over with yet." So, I mean,
isn't that something?
It's pretty gutsy for a 19-year-old kid to have that kind of moxie.
To make a 55-foot putt and to semi-call it.
And said it had 3 foot of break on it.
Well, 55 feet? Come on.
He walked it in the
hole.
It's
not going to be straight.
He knew it was going in, you know.
And his daddy said when he was 14 years old, he wanted to be a good putter. But in 3 years, he would work on his putting. His dad's name's John. And he estimated that his son hit about 7,000 putts a week in that 3-year span from 14 to 17. That's a lot of putts. He said, "I've got a video of us standing in the snow while he putted, standing in the rain with an umbrella over his head. He was not a natural. It was lots and lots and lots of hard work that he put in." And you were talking about Jordan Spieth, how great a putter he is. But at some point, Doc Redmond, the 19-year-old kid said, I want to be a good ball striker too. So he got to work on that, and it paid off in the 117th U.S. Amateur Championship. As now he is a champion. That his name's etched on that. What's it called? The how to make it? Not the want to make it.
I have it right here somewhere.
Have got it right here.
Man,
make control.
I thought for sure T. Bev had the most putting hours.
No, this guy, that 7,000 putts in a week.
Yeah, Havemeyer.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I have not seen him on any putting green in the area some time.
We should be seeing his son. I think his son's going to be playing football for Catholic High this year, so we should be seeing there. Why don't we take a break, and then we'll get back to the Solheim Cup and some other stuff on the national scene. Stay tuned. You're listening to Chip Shots on Kane Radio.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
TheGolfBalls.com Retail Center features 20,000 square feet of golf equipment and gear and is the largest golf retailer in Louisiana. While it lasts, check out their summer clearance sale, where you'll find marked down prices on shirts, shoes, clubs, and more from brands such as Callaway, Bridgestone, Under Armour, and TaylorMade. Located in the Boulevard Shopping Center on Arnold Boulevard next to Harbor Freight Tools, and of course online at golfballs.com. We're in your bag.
Sweet as Louisiana pure cane sugar. We're Cane Radio, AM 1240.
Welcome back to Chip Shots. Teddy and Boxcar, 367-1240 is our number. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Solheim Cup was played this weekend. Boxcar, you were talking about the Walker Cup, the President's Cup, the Ryder Cup, all kind of cups. Well, the Solheim Cup is the ladies, professional ladies, parallel with the Ryder Cup.
Right.
The ladies from Europe play the ladies from United States, and you know, there's always subplots and stories to these things. And the biggest one going into it was two LSU girls got selected on the team, on the opposite teams, one of them in the United States, Europe. And I was good to see that in the match play part of the event that the two captains, Julie Inksta and Annika Stormson, paired them up together. And Madeline Stagstrong from the European team beat out Austin Ernst, the LSU golfer, from the United States, 2-1.
Yeah, I didn't even realize that, to be honest with you. I just got to see some of it yesterday for the first time. But yeah, I see she beat her 3-2.
It was good to see they put them against each other.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a little flavor, just like what you were talking about with Sam Burns and them snubbing him. You know, what's up, man? LSU's got some studs out there in golf, you know, male and female alike.
Oh, absolutely. But it was fun to watch. I mean, it wasn't much drama. There was a pretty resounding U.S. victory. Although the singles matches yesterday were very competitive. I mean, it was 6-6. But U.S. had such a big lead going into the singles matches. It really was kind of a foregone conclusion about them winning. But so they won 16.5 to 11.5. But now that really kind of securing Julie Inkster's legacy as a coach, because she had a Hall of Fame playing career, but she seems really, really comfortable patrolling the fairways as a captain. 2 years after rescuing her team from a third straight loss in Germany, Inkster pressed all the right buttons and deflected any pressure from her team as defending the trophy on home turf. She was fierce when she needed to be fierce and loose when she needed to be loose. And a lot of accolades also going out, Teddy, to the Des Moines Country Club, the course and the area. They had dancing captains on the first tee, fans in costumes. It was very, very electric. And so congratulations to Des Moines for putting on a great event. Congratulations on the to the Solheim Cup in the U.S. And
yeah, and they were saying that, Iowa doesn't have any pro sports at all. So this was a big deal for them. They weren't. And I happened to sit at the table at Squirrel Run, and when we were watching it, this was on Friday, with the two priests that play golf out there, Father Green and Father Robichaud. And Father Robichaud said, you know, Des Moines, because we asked Kevin whether they were playing. We weren't really certain, and he said Des Moines. That means the monk. They have a big monastery there.
No.
That Des Moines,
and
a Benedictine monastery.
Oh, okay.
But the final margin box score was 5 points. We crushed them, the U.S. did. But there were two matches that got some notoriety. Saturday four ball between Brittany Lang and Brittany Lincecome and Cordula Singata and Mel Reed was the stuff they write movies about, they say. Six straight birdies from Lincecome, a hole-out eagle from Lang, and they dodged the European pair because they pushed the match to the extra hole. So they had six birdies in a row and then an eagle.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive stuff.
And then the two teams together combined for 22 under par, which it seemed totally unbelievable. Then Lexi Thompson and Anna Norquist met in Sunday Signals. Norquist was the MVP for Annika Storenson's shorthanded squad, and she played like it early on until Thompson caught fire. In a seven-hole span, Lexi made four birdies and two eagles to flip the match, and they ended up tying. So that's amazing. You know, these gals can play.
And I do love it when – and that's on my bucket list to do. And maybe after I retire, maybe we can go to that one event.
Alabama,
In Alabama. I mean, just, you know, we could play golf on the way over there. And
there's nothing I'd love more.
Still go watch it. You know?
Sure. I mean, you're talking about Julie Inkster. She was a little irked. She says in our post-press conference sound-off, she appealed for the women's game, and she says, as women golfers – we are already getting shortchanged, and it irks me. she said, even from the PGA Tour down, I don't think we get the respect we deserve. I'm going to say it right now, and I probably shouldn't say it. I just don't understand how all these companies get away with supporting PGA Tour events and not LPGA events. It makes me a little upset because I think we've got a great product. I think we do a lot of things really good. And I think golf is fantastic, and then we deserve our due. So she's up a little bit on her bandwagon there.
I think part of the thing though that kind of, you know, in this situation, obviously it wasn't a factor, but week in, week out, the Asian dominance on the PGA LPGA tour makes it difficult for sponsors. You know, when the person can't speak English to even endorse your product. You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you.
Look, yeah, we beat the Europeans, and that's a competitive match against the Europeans. You know, we can – I guarantee you, we play in Japan or the Asian countries, we get waxed, you know.
Right.
So I think –
And then you've always said, and I like your support here, is that – or your idea here, that they should change their dates and end up on a Monday or something just to not compete
to
with the
different.
PGA Tour, just to be different and highlight themselves. Because let me tell you, these gals can play. I was telling those very two same priests, I'd love to see a tournament where the male pro and a male female pro play as a team and against another, you know, match play just for fun thing. And they hit their tee shots and then swap. The men hit from where the girls drove it and the girls. Because I guarantee you, with the only thing they're lacking is strength.
Yeah.
But as far as touch and skill around the greens, they're just as good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I haven't had a chance to witness an LPGA event. I only saw the event at the Wetlands, which was basically their version of the web.com.
Right.
But having played in two pro-ams with them, I can definitely attest that they can definitely play. The thing I noticed, and I actually even caddied nine holes for one of the girls on the last day, but the only thing I noticed is that They're not able. I mean, obviously the driver. That's one thing. But because of the fact that they're not going to put as much spin on the ball, there's a lot more rollout. You know,
right.
With irons. They have to gauge.
That's because of their
different.
Strength,
right? And even on some of the pitch shots, you know, you used to see the PGA Tour pro 85 yards or 100 yards in, it's going to stop on a dime or check back. Or you don't see those shots.
No,
you know?
They don't have the strength in their wrist.
Right. But, I mean, besides that, you're absolutely right. Right. And, I mean, but it's just, again, my contention has always been if I want to watch somebody and try to, you know, get better as a 58-year-old male, you know, player, who I'm going to emulate? You know, Justin Thomas, who can hit a putter. 250 yards. I mean, he drove a ball 250 the other day with his putter.
Wow.
You know, or I'm going to watch, these female golfers who hit a 7-iron 150, you know, or something like that. And so, obviously I can relate to their game a lot more. And I guarantee you, you know, if they came to Look Triumph instead of the web.com tour, you would have a lot bigger crowd there.
No question.
It's a different product and – but I will agree with Julie Inkster in that it really hasn't been marketed well at all. You know,
no.
it's the Heck, we saw a couple of years ago, I mean, they'd go 3 or 4 weeks without even playing an event. That's how sporadic the schedule was, you know?
The new guy, I think it's Juan, whatever, he's done a better job promoting it, but it's they need innovative ideas like what you have there about, you know, changing the dates, finishing on a different date, and then they could get those big sponsors that would, you know, pump out the commercials on TV and the Golf Channel and stuff.
And you need more, more network coverage. I mean, it's fine to be on the Golf Channel, but not everybody has the Golf Channel. You know, so at one time the LPGA used to be on CBS, NBC, ABC. You know, now you might maybe twice a year they have the U.S. Open and the British Open, I think. But even like the old Dinosaur Classic and all that used to always be on network TV. But they don't that's not the case anymore, you know. So yeah, they have to come up with some ideas on how to, you know, because it is a very marketable product. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think this is great for the, you know, you got some up-and-coming U.S. stars that maybe can ignite some more fan interest. But
sure.
I mean, but it's... The events are well attended. I mean, it was.
And they do have sponsors, you know. I mean, it's just, you know, why would a sponsor sponsor something opposite the PGA on the same day when they, you know, just you can only do so much.
I mean, like if I'm, you know, and this is no disrespect to the PGA Tour, but if I'm Barbasol, okay, am I going to sponsor an opposite field event against the British Open?
Or am especially I gonna, with shaving cream.
Yeah. Or am I going to sponsor, you know, again, maybe Barbasol doesn't make a lady shaving cream. I don't know. But would that money not be better spent somewhere else?
But yet, if the ladies finished on a different day, they might be willing to sponsor the ladies Barbasol for the legs.
Well, you know, okay. I'm sure Barbasol it's probably on a different name. It's probably Pure Silk or something, one of those ladies' shaving creams.
That's good. I'm good with you.
Nair or whatever, you know. but no, I mean, it definitely, you know, is a good discussion and
it is. I like talking about it with you.
But yeah, I'm
ideas
again,
come out.
I think the biggest obstacle is that week in, week out, you know, what they're facing is the Asian dominance and how that relates to marketability.
Right.
From the
that's a stick in the mud there. You know? Right. Just a little programming note coming up after the CHS Catholic Eye Index Brent Index show will be airing up right after our show here tonight. Only problem now is Coach Brent. Yeah, Coach Brent Index is some kind of district meeting or something. But Tony Landry will be here to host the show, and I'll chip in best I can, and we'll have that kick off the football season. That's right around the corner. Next Friday is the Jamboree.
Hard to believe, huh, Dad? I mean, it seems like it was just yesterday when we were, you know, ending football season and all the drama at LSU. And now we're, you know.
Ready to kick it up again.
Ready to
you know, to
roll,
me,
man.
Boxcore, the anticipation's is a fun part of it, you know. And don't get me wrong, I love when the season starts, but, you know,
I
love the anticipation, the build-up, and now that we got a new Tiger over in Baton Rouge,
I'm ready to see him. I was listening to a show on the way over here, and they were saying how in the scrimmage, which it was, you know, close to the public, but LSU scored, like, on a 70-yard pass right off the bat on one of the first plays of the scrimmage, and then the defense basically shut them down the rest of the way. And the guy made a good point: how much fun it must be to watch Dave Aranda go against Matt Canada. Now he's got somebody to challenge him. You know, before that, I mean, you know,
that's miles.
You know that the Cam Cameron offense wasn't very much of a chess match. You know,
no.
And but now you've got an innovative offensive mind going against I think the best defensive coach in football.
Yeah, we're probably going to see a lot of that. You know, one or two play scoring drives. You know, where they score not 10, 12, 14 play drives like Les Miles was noted for. You know, anything can happen poorly.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens on a 12 or 14 play drive.
No,
you know, it really doesn't end well.
You give yourself a lot more rub. But in fact, the Saints' only blunder last night was a long drive, and then at the goal line, the guy threw a pick six, you know. So backup quarterback, you know. So, yeah. I mean, other than that, the defense played fantastic last night for the Saints. It looked like
that's what I heard on the radio.
Oh, it looked like the old days, man, back with the Dome Patrol. It was pretty awesome. But we had a pretty good tournament at the Wyndham also, and I think another...
Well, let's clear our last break, if you don't mind, and then, we can get into that.
I was just promoting that. You know, we'll come back and talk about that victory and then going to the FedEx.
We didn't talk about our third place finish either in Abbeville.
No, because we didn't get anything for it, but we can talk about it. Let's talk about
it. We got a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I got. I got a lot of fun.
I got a golf shirt, a lot of fun, 3 chicken sausage po' boys, and a lot of beer.
it was a great day, and it was a great weekend. We had a 36 holes of fun the whole weekend.
So yeah, we'll come back and talk about that because, I mean, it's we still want people to know about the importance of the Haiti mission.
So, yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, stay tuned.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew. Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
Sugar Oaks Golf Course, located at 4002 Sugar Oaks Road, is an 18-hole regulation golf course. This medium yardage layout has adequate length, wide fairways, and not too difficult approach shots. Sugar Oaks Golf Course is a semi-private course that's open to the public. Our guest rates are very attractive, and our monthly dues are accommodating. Give us a call for your tee time. That's Sugar Oaks Golf Course in New Iberia. Phone 337-364-7611. 364-7611.
For over 30 years, Squirrel Run Golf Club has been New Iberia's premier golf community. Opened in 1986, Squirrel Run has become known as a location for golf where the whole family can enjoy. Each year, new golfers are tested by a challenging 18 holes of golf. Golf tournaments and outings at Squirrel Run are great ways to get together on the golf course. Memberships are available for those interested in joining Squirrel Run. Reserve your next tee time with Squirrel Run by contacting the Pro Shop at 337-367-0863. Squirrel Run, Darby Lane, New Iberia.
Louisiana's own. Louisiana's gold. Kane Radio, AM 1240.
All right, this is the last segment of Chip Shots. Teddy and Boxcar are going to wrap it up, so if you want to jump on board, 367-1240 is your last chance. Okay, Boxcar, give us a deal about Carbonell Mission.
Yeah, Teddy and I got a chance to play in Father Glenn Moe's golf tournament at Abbeville Country Club, Vermilion Oaks Country Club, this past Saturday, and had a great time. It was a unique format, the 6-6-6, best ball, 6 alternate shot, and 6 scramble, and we had the pleasure of playing with Father Glenn and his playing partner, Mr. Miller. But it was a lot of fun. We finished, I think, a very respectable 7-under, which put us third gross. They unfortunately only paid one place for gross, which is 9-under-1, and we could have been there, have not been for some couple of mulligans that we had to burn in you know, needless situations, and one hole that we forgot we had mulligans on. And that was
It was like the third hole.
No, that was the first hole.
No, the third hole is when you reminded us that, hey, we got mulligans.
We just parred
that par 5.
I know.
And we had a mulligan?
I know, yeah. We had 3 of them.
You could have gone back to the tee and re-teed it.
Oh, I know. It was.
We could have done a lot of what ifs, huh?
I know, yeah. You always play that back in your
mind. Of course, that's the fun part of it.
But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it all went to a very worthy cause. Had a good turnout this year. I think the last time we had played it, it was a little down with participation, but it looked like a better field this year. So it was good to see. Of course, had a little bit of water on it, but not too bad. Carts were off the path, and greens are looking good. So I want to encourage everybody that didn't play in Abbeville last month. We're having the Pro-Am again there this, you know, on the 5th, I think it is. Of September, right? So so that's right around the corner. And of course, like I said, is in really, really good shape. So please come out and support it. But thank you for playing with me.
That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
Had a good time, man.
Yep. Okay.
So you know what? I want to also mention, I had a couple other local things I totally kind of forgot. But this weekend is going to be the 2017 LGA Net Amateur Championship.
Oh,
it's
wow.
At Cassati Pines. Registration already closed. But in conjunction with that, they're having the Club Team Championship also. When they play 4 players and 3 scores count for each day's play. And so I know normally Squirrel Run, at least locally, sends a team to play in that. I'm not sure if they are this year, but that's happening this weekend. And then also former UL golfer Seth Dufresne won the 2017 LGA Mid-Amateur Championship at Bayou Oaks in City Park. And he beat Patrick Kristovich of New Orleans in a sudden-death playoff. So that was pretty impressive because Patrick Kristovich is one of the best amateurs in the state. And you know, Seth, I know, played for Theodore at UL and was kind of an underachiever, I think, you know, and didn't really do much or play much while he was there. But he's been hot because he won the four ball recently also for the LGA. So that was pretty cool to see that he's doing well, at least post-UL golf life. And then one more thing, they're having an LGA, which is Louisiana Golf Association, Southwest Ireland trip in 2018. They're going to be playing six courses in Ireland. It's a seven-day, six-night trip. So if you want some more information, go to the LGA's website, and you can, you know, it's limited up to 32 golfers is what they're going to take. And they have the prices in euros, and they're playing some great courses, included with the Ballybunion. So that's a classic trip if you ever wanted to play in Ireland. You can go with some fellow Louisiana players over there and play. So
drink some of that good old Guinness. Ooh, doggy.
That hot Guinness, huh?
Oh, no, it ain't hot.
Anyway, so the Wyndham Championship this weekend, Teddy, had a lot of exciting storylines. Henrik Stenson won at 22 under par, set the new tournament scoring record at Sedgefield Country Club, and he needed every bit of those 22 strokes because he had to basically hole out on the last green to avoid a playoff, not hole out on the last green, but make his putt to avoid a final, to avoid a playoff with Ollie Schneiderjans, who shot a 64, I think, on the last day. So there's another young guy.
Yeah, from the class of 2011.
Right, and one of the guys that hadn't won yet, but definitely could be a force in the FedEx Cup playoffs.
Right.
So, yeah. So
and then, like you said, that you know this was the last official tournament of the PGA Tour's wraparound season. We now begin and go into the FedEx Cup, I think. Where are they going to start this week? New York or Boston, maybe? No, I haven't looked it up. But
I'm trying to
And while you're looking for that, there was it's called the Northern Trust, but there were subplots to this tournament as well qualified and didn't qualify. Jeff Ogilvie was number 125. He finished at 11 under and earned enough points to move to number 111. And then Martin Flores, this is a pretty cool story. He jumped from number 139 to 118. He made a hole in one, and then on the 17th hole. And then, you know, finished up with that. He needed it, evidently. And there's some other stories, boxcars. I'm sure you have some as well.
Yeah, first of all, Henrik Stenson, the only reason he even played in it was because he needed to play 15 events to keep his PGA Tour status. And so that's why he added the Greensboro stop to his – because he hadn't played well there in the past. And that was what cost Martin Keimer – and Danny Willett to be off the tour next year full time. But he found an old school layout where he could leave his driver at home. He only hit his 3-wood all weekend long, and hit it he did. So that was really cool. But some other stories. J.J. Henry had to stuff his final approach to 6 feet for a birdie that edged him past Zach Blair for the coveted 125 spot, and that put him in the FedEx Cup playoffs by a single point.
Right.
And then I think
also Martin Flores, I said, he aced the 70th hole to Rory Sabatini came to the same green a few minutes later and holed a putt. They say was from Winston-Salem, which is a city 100 miles away, to achieve basically the same thing and get into the FedEx Cup. So a lot of excitement, you know, with the way they have this season, you know, ending now with the FedEx Cup. And I know there's 125 scheduled to play, but five guys aren't going to play in the first one anyway, so it's down to 120.
Yeah, the guys that aren't going to be playing, I had that list right here. Adam Scott is not playing because of the expected birth of his second child. Sergio Garcia is not playing because he doesn't want to play. Franz Snedeker ended his season last week. I think it's due to injury. Dominique Bozzelli withdrew. He's at number 115. And Scott Piercy hasn't played since June. He's at number 85, but he obviously has some kind of an injury or something, maybe suspension, who knows what, but he has not played and will not play. So, yeah, it is down to 120 before they even tee off.
Right. You think these guys don't get nervous. Jeff Ogilvy is a 2006 U.S. Open winner who earned the Wyndham number 125 spot on the points list and saved his card for next year. He's tied with a tie for 16th. He says there's a level of tension and stress in your body that's on a different level when you're in that position.
Yeah.
He got nervous too, folks.
Well, it's basically the pressure they used to face at
Q school, right.
You know? But yeah, and then the guy who got to drive out to his golf ball after what rain delay at Le Triomphe, Harold Varner III, he also eked into there. I think he finished at 123, had a nice finish, I think tied for sixth or something like that. So he made it in there as well. A couple of names missing out on the 125, Sam Saunders, of course, Arnold Palmer's grandson, Ryan Palmer, Ricky Barnes, Johnson Wagner, Ben Crane. So they're all into the web.com tour finals, though. Here is another interesting story, Teddy, not from the Wyndham, but there's only 2 weeks left on the web.com tour season. Now, of course, the top 25 get their PGA Tour cards automatically. But Martin Pilar, rather than teeing it up in Knoxville, he's sitting at 26 on the money list. He went to Iowa to support his wife, Jarena, at the Solheim Cup. So now he'll head into the season finale in Portland at 27. He's $12,000 behind Bo Hosler as he seeks a promotion onto the PGA Tour.
So family comes first.
That's putting the love of your life, you know.
Well, he's got to make some points with that, huh?
Yeah, I mean, because I know some people that missed their child's
birth.
That's
right. The second child. But I told her if I had known it was her, I'd have been there.
Yeah,
she
right.
just didn't know.
Okay,
like for the U.S. Amateur, they finished up, we just talked about, at Riviera, one of the best golf courses and historic golf courses in all of golf. Well, they're going to shift to Pebble Beach next year. What a lineup, huh? Then
yeah,
they're going to be followed
nice.
By Pinehurst number 2 and then Bandon Dunes. So it's not too shabby a lineup coming up for the amateurs.
And here was some good news, though, coming out of the golf world this week. Rory McIlroy will be playing in the field at Glen Oaks, which is a surprise given his comments at Quail Hollow. He's been frustrated this year by his inability to shake a rib injury that sidelined him twice. And he, after the season's final major, he didn't rule out the possibility that he might shelve it for the whole year. But he will return to begin his defense of the FedEx Cup with his friend Harry Diamond still in the bag after consulting with doctors in Northern Ireland. So they are starting
That's good
actually
to hear.
In New York. Yeah, so it's good. Yeah, I mean, it's good to see, you know, one of the biggest names in golf in the
right,
FedEx
absolutely.
Cup playoffs. Whether or not he can do anything or not remains to be seen. But
and then the winners on the web.com tour this year, this week rather, in Knoxville was Taylor Gooch. And on the Champions Tour, Scotty McCarron won in Endicott, New York. For the Champions Tour.
All right, Teddy. Kinda once again, the inaugural Brent Indes show, not featuring Brent Indes this week. We'll kick off the unofficial start of football season here on Kane Radio. That's coming up next with Tony Landry and Teddy Sleiman here on Kane.
In the shadows of the Tesh, KANE Radio, AM 1240.